Do you have a great local GP, one who you've come to trust and rely on for your health care? Or do you live somewhere that doctors don't want to go, rural and remote parts of the country? The shortage of doctors outside of metropolitan Australia is chronic. And when you get a sense of things like the hours that rural doctors have to work, of how difficult it is to ever get away for a break or to do some advanced training, you start to get a sense of why. Researchers from Monash and Melbourne universities have been looking into this ongoing problem and offer a number of recommendations. The lead author is Dr. Matthew McGrail, and he joins us from Sale in Gippsland in Victoria. G'day, Matthew.
Yes, good morning.
How to attract and retain doctors who want to work in the bush is a long-standing problem, isn't it? Now, what's your first key recommendation?
Well, there are many aspects to this, addressing this issue. As you say, it's chronic. It's not going away, and there are no easy solutions to it. The solution itself is, it's multi-pronged. You know, there are many aspects to this.
Well, one of the findings is that people who've grown up in the bush are much more likely to return there to practice medicine.
Yes, I mean, that's an issue that's been identified for some time, and it's not fully understood why that is necessarily, other than the fact that we understand, they've grown up in the bush, or, you know, they sort of, they're acclimatised, I guess, to the rural lifestyle, and so many of them have that desire to come back, you know, once they've finished their training. But we also know that there are many metropolitan sort of origin type people who do end up in the bush as well. So not to forget that group, and they're large in number just because that's where so much of the population lives originally. So,
but if you were able to boost the number of trainee doctors or doctors of kids going into medicine to medical schools who come from a rural background, what difference would that make?
We do know that the more that you bring into the system that come from the rural background, and the more rural doctors you'll create from that. So, yes, there is that sort of natural progression, I guess, through the system.
Well, also with us is Dr. John Hall. He's a GP who works in a couple of small towns in Queensland, Oakey and Kingsthorpe, as well as the regional centre, Toowoomba. I get the sense he's busy. John is also Vice President of the Rural Doctors Association and joins us on the phone. G'day, John.
Good morning, Amanda.
Where are you today?
I'm currently at Toowoomba practice.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Now, do you agree that if you've lived in the bush as a kid, you're more likely to want to work there as an adult doctor?
Absolutely. And look, we see this in rural families generally, that a lot of people that have their social roots and ties in a rural town will often go off and do their education and training, but people do tend to drift back to the bush from other professions as well, accountants and lawyers and those types of professions as well. So I certainly agree with that. And as Matthew said, there's really good long-term research that supports the issue around rural origin people ending up working in the bush down the track.
And is that your experience? Where were you born?
Absolutely. I was born in Emerald in central Queensland, and I spent a few years there, and I spent a few years in Inglewood, which is a southwestern Queensland town, in primary school. And I actually think it was that primary school experience, the freedom of being in a country town, the close contacts and the friends and just the country lifestyle, that was one of the big factors for me that made me choose to come back to the bush to work.
Matthew McGrail, the extraordinary thing is that we now have a looming oversupply of doctors, don't we? And yet the undersupply of rural doctors persists. So, first of all, why the oversupply?
Yeah, well, and that's one of the reasons that we've created this report, that's prompted this discussion here. The government's invested a lot in terms of boosting the number of Australian trained doctors through the system. And it's increased something from roundabout figures of 1,300 to 4,000 graduating
this
year.
In medical schools
Within each year. And so that's the massive increase. But as you say, that's not necessarily going to create more going into the rural areas. The majority of those increased numbers still end up in the city. I'm not necessarily an expert in how that is created, but you know, that there still is, you know, a way for them all to be absorbed into the city system, so they're not naturally finding it too competitive yet.
Right, so they can still all get jobs, even though the numbers are boosted. They're still all getting work in metropolitan.
Yeah, thus far, that's the evidence so far. Yeah. And so, yeah, sure, that the government has, you know, suggested that, you know, we've now reached that point. Well, perhaps we are at the peak of what we need, you know, and they're discussing, you know, they're using this term oversupply.
Well, as a result of this boost in the numbers of Australian trained doctors, what does that mean for the programs to attract overseas trained doctors to come here?
Yeah, well, I mean, as a result of this, you know, notion of there being oversupply, you know, there's discussion of removing the policies that are in place to bring the overseas trained doctors into Australia. You know, there are special visas for these identified skilled occupation.
Yeah, that's the 457 visa, isn't it?
So there's said to be a shortage of those skilled, and so there's ways for them to be brought into the country. And with the policies in place currently, the moratoriums, that most of them end up working in rural so that they can earn a living.
So limiting the number of overseas trained doctors who can come in on 457 visas is actually going to adversely affect rural areas.
Absolutely. And that's one of our points that we want to highlight. We completely support the idea, we the researchers support the idea that we'd like to limit the number of overseas trained doctors being brought into the Australian system. It would be much better if we could train our own ones and create a natural supply out of that. But currently the international trained ones, supply about 40% of rural doctors.
And is that right? 40%?
Yeah, that's about the figure. And in some of the less attractive places, the really isolated small places, it's over 50% generally.
Well, John, do you have concerns about this? You know, the sort of metropolitan oversupply and also the reliance there is at the moment on recruiting overseas trained doctors to work as GPs in rural areas being potentially limited?
Absolutely. One of the workforce agencies that we work closely with has been quoted as saying this tsunami, or people are calling the oversupply of medical students now a tsunami, and they talk about it like any tsunami, it's only going to go a few k's in from the coast. Basically that the city can absorb a lot of extra doctors in the modern era. A lot of our doctors are working more part-time, and so there certainly is capacity for the Eastern Seaboard to absorb a lot of those doctors. When it comes to our overseas trained colleagues, we've got some amazing and dedicated overseas trained doctors that are supporting rural Australia at the moment. Our Rural Doctors Association policy on this essentially does go to the fact that we want doctors to be working where they want to be, and one of the negative, I guess, components of the current policies is that often forces doctors, overseas trained doctors, to work in areas where they're not particularly choosing to go, and they may or may not have the adequate training and experience to provide the complete range of care in those areas. So we'd much prefer a system that allows people to work wherever they would want to work and supports doctors, whether they're from overseas or from Australia, to be trained specifically to work in rural areas to support our rural communities.
Well, Matthew, another one of your recommendations is the need for more vocational training outside of metropolitan areas. Now, how do you mean this? How would it work? How will it get more doctors into the bush?
Well, to train to be a doctor, it's a very long process through medical school and then through a number of years in the hospital system, and then eventually ending up training under a specialist college of some sort, and that includes the general practice colleges. And so this long pathway creates many points of time, I guess, where their career desire or wish to end up as a rural doctor can be influenced and potentially swayed away from that for many reasons. It can be for social reasons or for professional reasons. Australia currently does have a good policy in terms of its training of GPs in the college, you know, because there's an expectation around about 50% should be training within the rural areas. And that's a positive step, but the evidence so far is that, the evidence is lacking, I guess, of whether that is a sustained outcome in terms of whether they remain in those areas long term. The short term evidence is, yes, it's pretty good, but there's also a hint that there's a bit of a drift back to metropolitan after, 4 to 5 years. And we suspect that may continue. So it's not clear, how well that will work. So, we want to ensure that, these doctors who are training in these rural areas are well supported so that, and there's good sort of retention, I guess, policies, if you want to call that, or incentives around them to continue them to be supported to stay on and to enjoy the experience.
Well, John, I think that one of the doctors who works with you was originally planning to practice medicine in the city but has ended up a country GP because of a special program?
That's exactly right. The government previously had a program where junior doctors, interns and second year out and third year out junior doctors in big city hospitals and regional centres were placed into rural general practice and also general practices in the city. It was called the PGPPP program. And it was a fantastic program. It gave these doctors exposure to general practice where they otherwise wouldn't have had that experience. So it may be news to people that doctors historically, up until about 10 years ago, never had a chance to experience general practice as a part of their pre-vocational training. So everybody knows that doctors do interns in hospital and they spend a few years in the hospital. During that time, they get a lot of experience and exposure to other specialties, but they haven't always had the chance to be exposed to general practice and particularly rural medicine as a part of that training. So this was unique in that it got doctors out of the hospitals, gave them a 10 to 12 week term in a general practice, and they got to see what it was like. Often there's misconceptions about what general practice is and what rural medicine is in the hallways of big city hospitals. But when you get people out there and they're sitting in the chair and they're seeing patients and they're doing the emergency work, delivering the babies, doing some of the complex work that we do in country areas, they realise that this is actually a really rewarding and interesting job. So yes, we have a doctor that came through the PGPPP with us, and he is now signed on as a GP registrar trainee with every intent to stay living and working in Oakey, which is a country town west of Toowoomba. And he's currently on the hospital roster there and he works in a private GP practice. So it's been very rewarding to see this type of theory come into practice in our area, and I certainly support Matthew's research, and we call on the government to look at this research in detail and make more commitments around ensuring that doctors get good experience in rural and regional general practice to ensure that we can support the rural workforce going forward.
You're listening to Life Matters. I'm Amanda Smith, and my guests are Dr. John Hall, who's a GP in rural Queensland and the Vice President of the Rural Doctors Association, and Dr. Matthew McGrail at the School of Rural Health at Monash University in Gippsland in Queensland, in Victoria. And love to hear your thoughts on this too. Are you living outside of metropolitan Australia? And if so, is there a great GP in your neck of the woods, or are you somewhere that struggles to recruit and retain doctors? How has the scarcity of rural doctors affected your life? You can post on Facebook. So, John, tell us what your week is like, because you work across two small towns and a regional centre. I suggested at the start you were probably pretty busy.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, I started my career as a rural doctor in Stanthorpe, which is a town that's about 3.5-4 hours west of Brisbane, and it's about 2 hours southwest of Toowoomba. And I did that for 5 years, working full-time in a hospital, doing procedural-type work, working in primary care as well in that space. I moved to Oakey primarily about 10 years ago because we had children that needed to be, we wanted to have some more opportunities that were closer to a regional centre for schooling and education. That was the main reason why we moved. But I wanted to still do rural medicine. So we we started in Oakey, and I did the hospital job there for 10 years, and that job was pretty onerous, and this is reflective of a lot of small rural towns in Queensland and indeed the rest of Australia. And that involves, you know, the Oakey job is archetypal, and it involved getting up, you know, very early in the morning, about 7 o'clock, starting a ward round at the hospital about 7:30. So seeing about six or seven patients that are inpatients in a hospital, then possibly attending to a couple of emergencies at the hospital, and then leaving the hospital facility, going down to a private general practice, which is off-site, which I own and run and fund. And then, you know, doing a day's work as a GP, often through to 6 or 7 at night, and then having to go back to the hospital, see some patients, be on call. And that's quite reflective. I did that for 10 years, and just 6 months ago I handed over the reins of the hospital to some of our trainee doctors that are coming through, experienced, you know, high-level trainee doctors that are now taken over the reins at the hospital. So they've got four doctors sharing the call there now, which is much more sustainable. But my day now involves, I work 3 days a week in our Oakey clinic, and I work 1 day a week in our Toowoomba clinic, and I do a day a week of administration because I'm managing the other clinics as well. We've got a fantastic crew of doctors, senior doctors, and most of our guys are ex-rural doctors that have drifted back towards a regional centre, and we've tried to create a practice that suits their type of their style of practice, which is a bit more all-inclusive and involves a lot more procedural work. So we do a lot of skin cancer medicine, vasectomies, and that type of thing. So our work is really diverse, and even though I'm living and working now closer to a regional centre, I'm still practicing very much in the way that I did when I was solely rural, and I still have a ticket in obstetrics in delivering babies. So to maintain my credentials in that space, I have to go and do remote locums as well. So in January, I spent 3 weeks in Derby in Western Australia doing GP obstetric works, helping deliver babies out there. So yeah, and I have a pretty hectic life, and involved, and with the rural health politics as well, It's pretty full on, but it's very, very rewarding.
Never a dull moment by the sound of it. Matthew, what about incentives? Does offering more money make a difference? Does that lure doctors out of the city and into the bush?
Generally, the evidence is pretty weak on that sort of offering buckets of money will get people to go out there. I think John alluded to earlier, I mean, if you're struggling to get them interested in rural medicine, you know, buckets of money aren't necessarily going to, they're not going to change that decision. I mean, that lifestyle just being described is not for everyone. It's, you know, has lots of exciting, you know, components to it. Also has, you know, it can be onerous and viewed that way, and so, yeah, we know it's not for everyone. In terms of incentives, the evidence we found is that much better support of locums is one of those key things that's identified by the rural doctors as what they want. So that enables them to, you know, to have a break, to get away from these communities, to not be sort of locked into roles or jobs that they just can't get away from. And so that's strongly valued, but you know, at the moment it's not widely available.
John, a new initiative is in the offering, and if it's passed, it would see the creation of a National Rural Health Commissioner. Just briefly, what would this commissioner do?
This is a very welcome development on the national stage, and the Rural Health Commissioner legislation has been tabled in Parliament, and we're waiting to see that voted on and passed. Hopefully we've had good information that there's reasonably strong bipartisan support for this, which is fantastic. But a Rural Health Commissioner would essentially be a body that would vet health policy generally. So one of their main tasks would be to rural-proof health policy as it comes through government to ensure that it actually it's actually doing the right thing by our rural Australians. One of the problems we've had in the past is well-meaning health policy that's good for Sydney, it's good for Brisbane and other major centres may not be good for some of our rural towns. So having an independent third person have a look at policy and make sure that it's actually appropriate for rural areas as well is really important. But equally, the Rural Health Commissioner has been tasked with developing a national rural generalist pathway, which is specific training towards procedural skills, including obstetrics, anaesthetics and surgery in the main, to support rural hospitals that are providing essential services like birthing and emergency surgery and anaesthetics. So this is a very welcome development and certainly needed. And we're in a time of crisis where a lot of these hospital facilities that are providing this work are on a knife edge. And I mean, it is time critical that something's done about this now so that we stop any more rural hospitals from closing or being downgraded. Our rural communities deserve access to emergency services and birthing, and with the loss of or not enough doctors performing this type of work, that will be the eventual outcome.
Dr. John Hall is a country GP in Queensland and the Vice President of the Rural Doctors Association, and Dr. Matthew McGrail is a Senior Research Fellow at Monash University's School of Rural Health in Gippsland in Victoria. And thank you both for joining me here in Life Matters.
No problem.
Cheers. And yes, has the scarcity of rural doctors affected you? You can post on Facebook. You're listening to Life Matters. I'm Amanda Smith.